Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie says there's never been a more strategic time to take a stand for our faith in Christ.
We live in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker, don't you think? And so we need to be shining more brightly. And through our good works, people should see we're Christians before we tell them.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
The Bible calls believers ambassadors for Christ. We're public representatives. But when others find out that we're believers, do they say, oh yeah, I thought so? Or do they say, really? You could have fooled me. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out how important it is to display the love of God to those around us and how we need to do all we can while we can. It's practical instruction from the series called The Future Is Written.
So in this series, we've talked about the rapture. We've talked about Israel. We've talked about why Bible prophecy matters and why we should indeed study it and to the best of our ability understand it. Now we're going to focus specifically on what Jesus says we should be doing as we await his return. That brings us to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 36. Jesus says, be dressed for service, and keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them and put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this, Jesus says. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So we'll stop there. So the analogy that Jesus is using is very familiar with his Jewish listeners. He's talking about a wedding. A classic first century Jewish wedding. Now, weddings are very different today from those days. Weddings are very expensive. I just read about a wedding that took place in India at the cost of $300 million. Wow, I think I spent $100 on our wedding. We didn't spend a lot on our wedding, but we focused on our marriage. And 50 years later, we're going strong. So we're thankful to God. But back in these days, the days of Jewish weddings, it was very different. Because a Hebrew wedding would last not just hours, but it could actually last for days. It was an extended time of celebration and fun. And there was one unique feature about these weddings, and it is simply this. You did not know when the groom was coming. So he might come in the morning, he might come in the afternoon, he might come in the evening, but when he was coming, a shout would be given out, the bridegroom is coming, and if you weren't ready, you would miss the wedding. Snooze and you lose. So Jesus uses this backdrop, this illustration, to talk about how we should be living as we wait for our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to return. Bringing me to point number one, if you're taking notes, we should be shining lights in a dark place. We should be shining lights in a dark place. Look at verse 35, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning. The New King James Version translates it, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. So what does it mean to have your waist girded? That's not verbiage we use today. Well, they wore robes back in those days, right? So to gird your waist simply meant that you cinched up your robe. Everyone would have a belt around a robe, and you would keep things on your belt like an oil flask, a little extra oil, etc. So you would sort of cinch up your robe, giving you freedom of movement. To have your lamps burning meant you had sufficient oil in them. So if we were to update it for today, we would say, have fresh batteries in your flashlight. Or we might say, have your cell phone charged, right? That's the idea. Live in a state of readiness, but to have your light shine. You know, we live in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker, don't you think? And so we need to be shining more brightly. And as Christians, we need to be known more for what we are for than what we are against. And through our good works and our loving actions, people should see we're Christians before we tell them. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So in effect, you look for ways to earn the right, so to speak, to then share your faith. The problem is sometimes we're talking about Jesus, but we're not living it. That does not help. But then there are others that live it beautifully, but they never talk about it. We have to find the balance of doing both at the same time. And notice that Jesus says in verse 38, he may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. So what Jesus is saying is, hey, even if he comes later than you were expecting, be ready. Reminds me of a story of Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus, along with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus spent time in their home. So when he got very ill, they sent a message to Christ. Lord, the one that you love is sick. And they thought Jesus would probably drop what he was doing and rush back to Bethany and lay his hand on Lazarus and heal him, or at least speak the word so Lazarus would be healed. But instead, we read in John 11:5, when Jesus heard this, because he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And then he says to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. So why did he wait? He waited because he loved them. See, they wanted a healing. Jesus wanted a resurrection. And when he showed up in Bethany, Lazarus was dead. So dead, in fact, that Martha, his sister, said, Lord, by now he stinketh. That's King James, for he's in the process of decomposition. By the way, if someone doesn't smell good, you can use that King James verbiage. You know, you stinketh right now, okay? Lord, not only did he die, not only did you miss your opportunity, but he's decomposing. She was accusing Jesus of failing. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And she says, yes, Lord, I know. And the last day he'll rise. He says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he said these words, Lazarus, come forth. It's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth. If he just said, come forth, everybody in every grave would have come out at once. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes alive out of the tomb. They wanted a healing. He wanted a resurrection. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond that which you could ask or think. Sometimes I say, Lord, I need you to do this for me right now. The Lord may say, yes, I'll do that. And other times he may say, no, I'm going to wait a little longer, and it's going to get a little more difficult, and it might even seem a little darker, but I'm going to come through for you, and when I come through for you, it will be in such a way you'll know it's me, right? So it's just a reminder to us as we're waiting that we are to be bright lights in a dark place.
Thanks for joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. Today, Pastor Greg is pointing to Jesus' counsel on how we should be living as we wait for the Lord's return. Let's continue.
Number two, we are to be watching for him. Now, what does this mean, that we all should just stand outside and stare at the sun all day? No, not at all. what it means when the Bible says to be watching for him. It's simply saying that you should be paying attention to what's happening in your world. You open up a newspaper, if you actually read a newspaper, most people don't anymore, or you go to your favorite news site, or you see the news online, you pay attention because signs of the times are happening around us, reminding us that Christ is coming, but I should be watching for him. Thirdly, I need to be ready to go. I need to be ready to go. So when I take a trip, I pack my bags ahead of time. I try to go carry-on nowadays. I rarely check suitcases because they lose suitcases, don't they? So I schlep around an overpacked carry-on bag on wheels. So heavy, in fact, I wonder if I'm going to get it in the overhead. But I always do because of my massive physique. and so, you know, I drag it around with me, but I'm ready to go. I have my bag packed ahead of time. And that's how we should be as Christians. Have your bags packed. Have your comfortable shoes on. And maybe ask yourself this question before you do something, before you go somewhere. This place that I'm about to go, this thing that I'm about to do, would I be ashamed or embarrassed to be doing such a thing if Jesus were to come back? See, that's the idea. Is this something I would not want to be doing if Christ were coming back again? So it should affect me in the way that I live. And number four, I should not only be ready, but I should be anxiously awaiting his return. Look at verse 36. When he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. I used to have a dog that would sleep outside of my room. And so much so that when he would scratch, it would sound like someone was knocking on the door. It woke me up more than once. But when I would open the door of my room up, he would fall into my room and he was so excited, I was awake. And he starts running around in circles because I'm gonna go take him on a walk and he's gonna go do his business, right? So he was excited. And that's how we should be. We should be excited that Christ is coming. It's a joyful thing to await the return of the Lord. It'd be like having a loved one. Maybe they're serving in the armed forces and they're going to be on leave and they're going to come home maybe tomorrow and you haven't seen them for months. You're so excited to see them again. You can't wait to throw your arms around them and tell them you love them. And that's how we should be looking at Jesus' return. Lord, I can't wait till you come again. I pray it soon. Like the Apostle John who said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Number five, we should not only be anxiously waiting, but we should also be working. Let me say that again. We should not only be anxiously waiting, we should be working. Look at verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Underline those two words, so doing. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. If watching for the Lord's return helps us prepare our own lives, working will assure we bring others with us. So Jesus says, blessed is the man whom the Lord finds so doing. The word blessed is interchangeable, as you know, with the word happy. Happy is the person who's busy doing the things of the Lord as they await the return of the Lord. This is part of our DNA at Harvest. If you're new to this church, I want you to know a little something about us. We take the Great Commission seriously here, right? You say, I don't even know what that means, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is when Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here's what Romans 10 says. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. You know, we don't normally notice a person's feet, do we? I mean, we usually keep our feet covered up. But the Bible says you can have beautiful feet. And a better way to translate that would be in full bloom. So it's sort of a picture of blooming like a flower. When you're sharing the gospel, there's something life-giving, something wonderful, something energizing about sharing your faith. Isn't it interesting? See, as you give out, you're replenished. I think so often we take in, we want to learn more, we want to absorb more, and that's very good. We should want that as Christians. But the way that God has designed all of this to work is you take in to give out. He wants you to be a vessel. He doesn't want you to be a hoarder. He wants you to share what you have been given. And the fact of the matter is that there is something very life-giving and replenishing and reviving for you spiritually when you share your faith. And when you don't share your faith, stagnation can set into your life. I told you the story before about my son, Jonathan. He has two rats. They didn't set out to have rats as pets, but they have a snake. And if you have a snake, it eats rats or mice. And so they went and bought what is called a feeder rat. That's an inexpensive rat that you buy to feed the snake. But this particular rat had no fear of the snake. Normally, when a rat's put into the cage of a snake, they cower in fear and the snake sees it and they strike and constrict the rat and eat it, right? And so in this case, this rat walked right up to the snake, walking around the snake, walking on top of the snake. And so Allie, my granddaughter, saw this was happening and she wanted to spare the rat's life. And so she got the rat out of the cage and set up his own cage and they named him Louie. And he turned out to be the best pet of all time. In fact, they ended up getting rid of the snake, but they kept Louie the rat. And they liked Louis so much, they said, let's get another rat. So they went and found, I don't know what you would call it, a designer rat, a little fancier, cost a little bit more money, had his own pedigree. They named him Remy. But the funny thing is, Louis was a better rat than Remy. And I almost wonder, is it because Louis knew that his life was saved from a snake? And he was just happy to be alive? Meanwhile, Remy is like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm a designer rat. I've got papers right over there. You know, I don't have to be as friendly as this stupid feeder rat. You know, I can be more aloof. And it reminds me of some Christians. When God has forgiven you of your sin, you're so thankful, you're so grateful, and you want to go out and tell others about what he has done for you. Jesus says, to whom much has been forgiven, that one loves the much more. But sometimes after we've known the Lord, we become complacent, we become apathetic, we can't remember the last time we've engaged someone in a conversation about the gospel. Don't be like that designer rat. Be like the feeder rat. I know that's a bad analogy, but you understand what I'm trying to say, right? We have a choice. We can evangelize or we can fossilize.
Pastor Greg Laurie with insights on what we should be doing as we wait for Jesus' return. And there's more to come next time from this study here on A New Beginning. Well, Pastor Greg mentioned evangelizing. That's part of our DNA here at Harvest Ministries and A New Beginning. We give an opportunity every day for people to put their faith in Christ so they can be ready for his return. Well, maybe you've realized you just don't know where you stand with the Lord. You can't think of a time that you did make a deliberate decision for Jesus. Well, Pastor Greg says it's just not a good idea to assume that everything's just going to work out okay.
No, this is one area of your life you want to be sure about, where you're going to spend eternity. The Bible says, these things we write to you that you may believe on the Son of God and that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, I know I have eternal life. I know I'll go to heaven one day. And I hope that doesn't sound boastful. And if it does, I'm boasting in what God has done for me, not in what I've done for God. The reason I know these things is because I've turned from my sin and I've put my faith in Christ, you see. And if you do the same, you can have this same hope. You just need to call out to the Lord and admit you're a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and come into your life. The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call upon him right now? I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me, if you would. So if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want to know for certain that Christ is living in your life, then pray this prayer with me. Just pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and my Lord, as my God and my friend. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if you've just prayed along with Pastor Greg and you meant those words sincerely, the Lord has heard you and he's forgiven you of your sin. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. Let us help you grow as a believer and build a solid foundation for your faith. We'd love to send you our new Believer's Growth Pack. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And just mention to the team that you'd like a new Believer's Growth Pack. They are available to pray with you too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg points out that the whole purpose for a study of the end times is to get us moving, to help mobilize us to draw closer to the Lord ourselves and to bring others to the Lord as well. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called So What? If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media, station sponsor.